Yle Podcast.
Hello and welcome again to All Points North, the Yle News podcast with everything you need to know about the news in Finland this week. Today we'll talk about a brewing dispute between cities in the capital region and the teachers' union over daycare teachers' pay. We'll look at how loneliness can affect people living in Finland, and we'll dive into a question from a listener on the lookout for public saunas.
This is the All Points North podcast, telling you everything you need to know about Finland this week.
Hello, happy Friday everyone, and welcome to All Points North. I'm Denise Wall from Yle News, and sitting across from me is my co-host Mark Odom. Hi Mark.
Hi, Denise, and thank you. Our special guest this week is well-known journalist and media personality Ruben Stiller. Welcome to you, Ruben.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
It's a great to have you.
Thank you both. Now, Ruben, many of our listeners may know you as the former host of the current affairs program Pressiklubi. It was hugely popular, and you had a pretty big fan base, I would say. You decided to leave, though, in spite of all of that. And what's the backstory to it?
The backstory is that I left because of health problems. I was afraid of having another heart attack. And then, on the other hand, I mean, I had done the program for several years, and you get tired of it in the end.
Yeah. What was the reason that you thought you would have had another heart attack?
Because, I mean, the pressure was quite, you know, was too much for me. The pressure was really too much for me. And, I mean, the question was, I mean, how independent should Yle be of the politicians? And that's a very big question.
I sense it. You're referring back to the situation where Yle and the Prime Minister Juha Sipilä, had a bit of tension over Yle's reporting on potential conflict of interest by the Prime Minister.
That's right. And I mean, what was my point? And there are many other journalists who are much more better than I am, and who had the same point. I mean, the point was that we should actually compare ourselves with Britain and Sweden, and get rid of the Finnish traditions. The Finnish tradition is that the politicians interfere in Yle, and some of them think that it's their right to use taxpayers' money to interfere in Yle. And I want to have a Western tradition, not a Western Russian tradition.
Okay.
I want independence of politicians.
All right. Well, that's a little bit of a history, but let's go to now. You're on the air, but on the radio, and your last show, I understand you talked about cultural appropriation, not the easiest subject either, I suppose. What can you tell us briefly about what that was about?
Well, that was one of the first times I started to understand what the concept means, because, you know, I have been brought up at the countryside. I'm a country bumpkin. When I was young, there wasn't any concept of cultural appropriation. And I think it's fantastic that people are getting conscious of the ways how the majority is using minority culture. Mm. And in fashion, and in other ways too. I mean, in Finland, I think that the whole debate is quite new.
Right. Mm-hmm. But speaking of culture and identity, Ruben, in your own words, you describe yourself as someone who's sitting at the intersection of being Nordic, Swedish-Finnish, and Jewish. How would you say that has shaped your perspectives?
Well, I play with the identities because, you know, I'm not really a good Jew because I'm not religious in any way. I'm very secular. And on the other hand, I mean, my father didn't speak Swedish to me when I was a little boy. I tried to you know, communicate with him in Swedish when he was old. Mm. We every now and then spoke Swedish. I'm not a good Jew. I'm not a real Swedish speaker. I'm not a real Finn. I don't want to be a real Finn. So I'm something
in between
very
all
mixed.
Of those.
Yes, and then, you know, somehow, I mean, let's say, for example, my Jewish identity. It's based on my own story. I have written the identity story, the narrative.
Mm. All right.
Well, wow. I reckon there might be both pros and cons to having such a complicated, rich cultural background. What would you say are the better points of being a little bit different?
Well,
what are the advantages?
Well, I think that the good point is that you have some kind of ironic sense of the identity narratives. And I like to be an outsider, you know. And nowadays, you know, I say to everybody that I'm not Finnish. I'm
right.
Not Finnish at all. Not a true Finn at
so
all.
So you're just kind of a man of the world.
No, not. I'm a country bumpkin.
You're a country bumpkin, that's right. Okay, let's, thanks
all right.
a lot.
Now moving on to...
And a schmuck.
Now moving on to one of the week's big stories, completely separate note, but we hope that you'll be full of opinions on this as well. The organization, the OAJ, which is the teachers' union, was up in arms when Yle reported that three big municipalities in the capital region, that's Helsinki, Espoo and Vantaa, they had some kind of gentleman's agreement on how to approach recruiting kindergarten teachers.
That's right.
Well, the teachers' union used much stronger language than that. They actually charged that these cities had a cartel that was keeping daycare workers' salaries at rather low levels, around 2,300 euros a month. They also pointed out that with such low salaries, it was difficult, if not impossible, to attract qualified candidates for hundreds of open kindergarten teacher positions.
So what I did was that I spoke with Laura Nurminen. She's a labor market advisor for the OAJ. That's a teachers union, as I said. And I asked her to explain why they made these allegations of cartel behavior. Let's listen to her now.
But they do admit still that they follow each other's salary practices, which is normal, obviously. But the fact that none of these cities have decided to actually compete to gain qualified kindergarten teachers by raising their salaries, well, I think that that tells a lot to everyone, doesn't it?
What leads your organization to believe that they're still coordinating practices?
Chief shop stewards have years wondered why the employers are not willing to actually fulfill all the elements that our collective agreement has. There are many ways of compensating teachers' work. If a teacher's job or anyone's job is more demanding than someone else's, they should get more salary as well. This element has not been implemented because basically, all the kindergarten teachers still remain on the minimum level. All the teachers' jobs, whether it's kindergarten or comprehensive school or upper secondary schools or whatever, the demands are getting higher everywhere. So also the salaries should follow.
Now, one of the things that we learned from the reporting is that there are many, many vacancies running into the hundreds.
600. There are 600 qualified teachers missing from the early childhood education. So there are people working who are not completely qualified according to the law. That's what I mean. And there are some positions that are not fulfilled at all.
So that was Laura Nurminen of the OAJ. But before we talk a bit more about this subject, I also want to mention that I spoke with Lisa Pohjolainen. She is Helsinki's executive director in charge of education. And I asked her what she made about this cartel charge coming from the teachers' union. I also asked her what the city is doing to attract qualified kindergarten teachers.
I think that this is a serious allegation because we don't have any agreement on the wages of kindergarten teachers with other cities in the region, and we have no wage cartel. Of course, we occasionally discuss teachers' wages. That's our normal work, I think, but it has been a long time since we last did so, and that's why this was quite a big surprise for us. And of course, Helsinki, we monitor the development of wages in other cities.
There's a high level of vacancies open for daycare teachers, and it seems that there's a severe shortage of daycare teachers, and there are hundreds of positions that are still not filled. What steps are you taking to fill these positions with skilled people who have been suitably trained and are qualified for the job?
For example, in Helsinki, we have decided that we will be paying new kindergarten teachers a one-time bonus of 1,000 euro. So it's quite a big sum. Wages are only one factor to fill these positions. There are also quite many other factors, for example, good management, well-being at work, and meaningful work. I think that they are very important. In Helsinki, we provide accommodation. Accommodation is available in the city of Helsinki because housing costs are very high in Helsinki.
Well, let me just add that in the latest twist of the story, the union wants all daycare teachers to get an across-the-board pay hike of nearly 1,000 euros per month because they say the work is so demanding. And as we just heard there, Lisa Pohjolainen from Helsinki was proposing that they would offer incoming kindergarten teachers a one-time bonus of 1,000 euros. So, interesting choices.
Thanks for that, Denise. The great reporting. Now, Ruben Stiller, what do you make of the current situation where as many as 600 kindergarten teachers' positions are either vacant or being filled by people who aren't suitably qualified?
Well, I don't know much about it, but it's interesting to watch this, what should I call it, hypocrisy. I mean, everybody saying that kindergarten teachers are important. Mm. Everybody is saying that police... nurses are important, but when they say that we want to have a higher salary, I mean, that's the end of it. And I think that part of the problem is that the kindergarten teachers, do they have a strong voice in their own union? Mm. And the second problem is that they are women.
Ah,
right.
What about the other side of
that's
the coin?
That's why it's easy to just, you know, ignore them.
Fair enough. What about the other side of the coin? I mean, it's anybody's guess whether or not these cities were actually colluding to keep salaries at a particular level. But do you think that 2,300 euros a month is really fair pay for the work of preparing children for a lifetime of education?
No. But, you know, it's very difficult to change the situation immediately. I mean, there should be a strike, I think, and there should be a real pressure from the public.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, something could happen. And
everyone wants to have great daycare services, but no one really seems to want to pay for it.
That's right.
Including
that's
parents.
The problem.
And I mean, everyone wants to keep
costs
down.
All these kindergarten teachers, if they were men, I mean, the situation might be different.
You could well be right.
I mean, we heard in that report that some positions are filled by people who aren't really fully qualified, so their pay is lower. Yeah. How can that be fair? Do you think that would be a fair system? Because that's the way it seems to be running.
The only thing I can say is this, that in the public services, it will be difficult to have a higher salary, because I mean there's always the explanation that this comes from taxpayers' money.
Well, lots of things come from taxpayers' money.
Yeah, that's
actually
right. But you know, I mean, it won't be easy.
Mm. Mm.
And let's see what happens. Let's see what happens in the future if they really have a strike in Finland.
Now, one of the things we heard, as we talked about earlier on at the top of this segment, was this one-time bonus that Helsinki's prepared to pay to incoming kindergarten teachers. That's the new teachers. But at the same time, there'll be a situation where the existing kindergarten teachers, and I'm talking here about the ones who are fully qualified, not the stand-ins, who may be somewhat less qualified, they will still be getting paid the old salary. I mean, that's not going to be good for morale, is it?
No. But, you know, perhaps that's just, you know, a trick. What do you call it? A gig.
A gig.
A gimmick.
Public relations gig from the city.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks for that. We're going to have to leave it at that because we need to move on. Forward. Next on All Points North, something completely different. We're going to talk about loneliness, a topic that's actually been on my mind all week.
I don't want to make light of it, but poor lonely Mark, he went out on his own to find some expert opinions about loneliness after we were contacted by one of our listeners who said she felt lonely. Mark, where did you go?
Well, let's just say that it all started during a long walk in the woods.
You mean in the forest? Let's listen to what Mark has been up to.
Walking alone through the snow in one of Finland's countless forests the other day, I started thinking about one of our listeners, Anni from Jyväskylä, who reached out to us on WhatsApp.
Thanks for a nice new podcast. It has been nice to hear English, as I have studied it at university. I also have fond memories of trekking in Nepal.
At first, it seemed that was all Anni had to say. But over the next few days, we learned it wasn't.
So I have been feeling a bit down with all the sad news. It's just that I'm a bit lonely. I almost have no friends. I can't even get myself up to clean the apartment. Maybe that would help. I hope that I could feel happy today.
Her messages continued. We kept replying, saying that loneliness can affect anyone and that it can be hard. Then I turned to the Finnish Association for Mental Health's project coordinator, Johannes Parkkonen, to ask how loneliness affects people.
Loneliness can lead to people developing mental health problems, such as depression, anxiety. Loneliness can also affect people's identity and sense of self-worth, self-esteem. So loneliness can have very serious consequences. Just that somebody is alone doesn't necessarily mean that they feel lonely. Loneliness is more about people's own perception of their social relations and connections to people nearby or further away. If you notice and feel like that it's increasingly ongoing, not just a fleeting moment, but an ongoing state, emotional state that you feel like you have nobody to talk to, then I would say that it's important then to start recognizing that this is starting to affect my mental health.
But that's not always as easy as it sounds, is it?
Loneliness carries a lot of stigma or shame. People find it quite difficult to admit to themselves, for example, or to people around them that they do feel lonely. Maybe we live in a culture where we somehow idolize, you know, this social connections and socially busy people, and for somebody who doesn't fit that profile, it may be very difficult to admit that they are feeling lonely.
Luckily, Anni's mood seems to have improved.
I'm sorry that I was so difficult. I still feel like I have the flu. I probably do. I was really happy that you didn't leave. Maybe I start to feel better. I was just so happy that you helped me. Well, I need to do something today. I can't just be on WhatsApp.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks for that very moving piece, Mark. We should point out here that Anni's messages were read aloud by our colleague Tatiana Bodyanskaya, and we had Anni's permission to use them.
Now, the Mental Health Association's project manager that we just heard from, Johannes Parkkonen, also told me that loneliness is not a mental disorder, but like most negative emotions, it can lead to bigger problems if it isn't properly addressed. People don't necessarily need to contact a crisis center if they feel a little lonely once in a while, but they can join a club or take up a sport, take an evening course, or even reach out to groups on social media.
Now, that's an interesting idea. I was wondering about the social media element of things. Does it really make us more social and less lonely, or does it make us feel even worse? What do you think, Ruben?
Well, I feel terribly lonely when I'm in the social media. I mean, all the shouting and all the fuss. And I mean, actually, I have quitted using, social media. Mm-hmm. I'm not there anymore. I have to go back, unfortunately. But I would relieved to be left alone from all the fuss, all the scandals and all the arguing. And
sometimes it can be quite competitive where people compare their own lives to that of others.
Right, because it's you putting your best face forward and everyone compares their boring lives doing the dishes. And no one posts themselves doing the dishes or cleaning out the closet.
That's
and
right.
You know, if you are really lonely, of course, social media can help.
I'm sure, yes. Like,
I just don't understand it. I mean, somehow I feel that the contact and interaction there is in a way, superficial.
Mm. Well, Johannes said that, social media can be good for people, for example, who might have difficulty getting around or have other issues.
Or have social fears,
Right.
Right, phobias. It's a first step. Yeah.
Get anxiety, right. But one aspect of loneliness that was mentioned in the piece was the pressure to have or make these social connections. Do you feel we feel a little bit of a taboo when, it comes around to letting other people know that we feel a bit lonely and that we need their companionship?
You don't speak about it much in Finland. I think that the reason is that, I mean, it's a huge problem in this country.
Yeah.
And especially, for example, in the cities, but at the countryside, And of course, everybody is existentially afraid of the loneliness. People who are social. I mean, they are afraid of feeling existentially lonely. Mm.
Before we move on, the Finns are kind of internationally known for their love of solitude.
That's right.
That is a key part of the maybe stereotypical Finn, but I think there's something to it. What do you think?
You are right. I think, and I notice it in myself. I have to be alone every now and then. And when I was...
But that's not an unhealthy thing. I mean, it's important for people to have that time to, defrag and consider life, the universe and everything, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. But, you notice the difference when you are living in another country. I lived in Britain for a year. And what was very difficult for me? First the small talk. And then that they... you just have to communicate. You can't be like in Finland. I mean, drink your beer and be, silent.
Mm. Well, before we move on, I want to tell our audience that in the show notes of this podcast on our website, we'll provide links to different groups and organizations that can help people connect.
Excellent. Thank you, Mark. Now it's time for a look at what else happened in the news this week. First up, strikes were called off by public sector service workers and university staff after they settled disputes with their employers, but another strike may be brewing by ship officers over their collective bargaining agreements.
Then veteran politico Paavo Väyrynen was in the news again.
Applause for Paavo.
He was expelled by his new party, the Citizens Party, only to have his expulsion overruled. I'm having a hard time following, because it was illegal. Now Väyrynen is causing gray hairs in the center party where he plans to contest leadership elections.
We'll be keeping an eye on Paavo. We also learned that Ahtiam, which was formerly Talvivaara Mining, this is another bit of a story that takes many twists and turns, that company bit the dust earlier this week. In its previous incarnation, it was a consistent loss maker, but then it got some debt restructured, had a taxpayer bailout, and acquired new investors and changed its name to Ahtiam. However, the company still went belly up, citing insufficient time to turn things around.
And a Finnish human rights NGO has called for closer scrutiny of religious groups like the Jehovah's Witnesses. The call follows revelations by former members who said that they'd been blocked from reporting sex crimes to the authorities. The League for Human Rights says that such groups only undergo a review when they're registered and there's no follow-up. It says that Finland has a lot of catching up to do when it comes to monitoring religious organizations. Don't forget, you can read all about these and other stories on our website at yle.fi/news. And now it's time for the All Points North question of the week.
What's your name?
Risto Rokala.
And what is your question?
Where are all the saunas? I think the tourists don't vote them. They are hidden somewhere.
Thank you very much.
Well, I'll just...
I have some tips.
Okay, great. We'll get to that.
I like
I just
Risto.
Want to repeat Risto's question. He said, where are all the saunas? He thinks that the tourists can't find them because they seem to be so well hidden. And I have to say that I, for one, am not to say that I'm a little bit stumped. And it is a fair question, as Risto said, for tourists, people who are not resident. What's your favorite public sauna to soak in?
It's at, I think that the, I don't remember the street address, but it's Arla in Kallio. Arla.
Yeah.
And I mean, when you go there, you go to the back in time. You
right.
are living in Finland in the 60s. Mm. And I mean, it's a very old-fashioned place.
Mm.
Sounds like quite an experience.
I mean, like you said, it does take some research, but you can find them in the little corners and neighborhoods in Helsinki, particularly. I mean, that's the one I'm more... the city I'm more familiar with. For example, there's the wood-fired one there in Kallio. And I'd like to check that out, actually. I've only seen the exterior when all the crowds of people are outside on the sidewalk.
Do you mean Harjun sauna?
Is it Harjun? Is there a different one? Okay.
Yeah, yes, I think that's the place.
Okay.
But, well, how would you find a good sauna? What does make a good for a public sauna experience?
Well, I think the most important thing is to have good friends with whom you go there. And then if it's, you know, I think it's nice that it's an old-fashioned place, that you, in a sense, get back in time. There's a fantastic place, I don't remember the name, in Tampere.
Mm-hmm.
When you go there, you are living and go outside, you know, to drink a beer or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have the feeling that you are living in Finland in the 50s.
An authentic
So
experience.
I have this nostalgia, yeah. I must admit.
Yeah. Well, I can offer one bit of guidance for people who don't know where to find a good sauna or any of the classic places that you're referring to, Ruben. Go to your local swimming hole. They usually have a decent sauna, and back in the day when I was more active, I'd frequent the sauna at my local public pool. So that's one idea. And just to close off this segment, I'd like to remind our audience that you too can be a part of our show just by asking a question on WhatsApp.
If you have something on your mind, just send your audio message to our All Points North WhatsApp account. Our WhatsApp number is +358 44 421 0909. Tell us what's on your mind, and your comment or question might be heard on our next show.
Well, after a busy news week, I'm ready for the weekend so I can relax. I'll be heading out to the Haltia Nature Center in Nuuksio. They say they have a super weekend to promote well-being by communing with the forest and in the sauna. What about your weekend plans, Ruben?
I'm going to lie on my sofa and I have have a beer. This is my my kind of mindfulness training.
Okay. barren contemplation. What yeah. about you, Mark?
Well, I think a sofa will be involved at some point, but all this talk about sauna makes me want to step into a sauna, too. We don't have one at home. So, in fact, tomorrow we can you can sauna from dawn till dusk during the Helsinki Sauna Day. It means people can try out saunas that aren't usually open to the public. And it's not limited to Helsinki. You can enjoy a sauna across the Helsinki region and even abroad.
Oh, that's something for our listeners who are joining All Points North from somewhere else beyond Finland. And that sounds like a plan for sure, folks. But it's time to wrap up our show this week. We'd like to thank our special guest, Ruben Stiller.
Thank you
so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Don't forget to stay in touch via the Yle News Facebook, Twitter and Instagram accounts. Just to let you know that this week's show was produced by Eddie Hawkins and our audio engineer was Marco Vierikko. Thanks for joining us and don't forget to tune in again next week.
You've been listening to All Points North, a podcast produced by Yle News, a unit of the Finnish Broadcasting Company. For daily news from Finland in English, head to yle.fi/news and follow us online at Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. You've been listening to Yle News.